Happy to check in once again with Quincy City Council President Ann Mahoney to give us a rundown on the May 4th City Council meeting. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. Now that we're in the month of May and starting to feel a little more like springtime.
I know it's beautiful. Yesterday and today have been beautiful. Hopefully, we'll, have a few more. It would be nice if we keep the wet, nice weather for the next couple of weeks. So,
Indeed, yeah. Well, spring in New England can do
yeah.
anything, that's for sure.
I always say it's nice to have rain because we need it for our grass and our flowers. But it's also nice to have the warmth. So, and it's not
Well,
too hot yet. So, I love that.
yeah, it's Goldilocks weather, right?
Exactly. It's perfect.
It's also budget season.
It is. It's not Goldilocks season for that. No, budget season is upon us, and we did have so last night we started our meeting with an oversight committee meeting. David Jacobs was running that, and it was in regards to the tenancies and lease terms and financial disclosures for the Monroe building. So it was a very productive meeting. There was a lot of different people like that are in there. I know that Lynch is in there, and the Norfolk County Sheriff's in there, and they have leases, and that makes sense because it's being paid for from federal and then from the Norfolk County. They pay those rents, and they do need leases for those things. And then there's a lot of people that had leases that have run out, and they're still continuing to pay pretty much what they were paying before. A lot of empty spaces in the building, a lot of city workers in the building, and then we have. I thought there was multiple. There's a dentist in the building, and there's a little store in the back of the building, and then there's Discover Quincy, and Quincy 400 was in the building. So there's a lot of things going on in that building, but we are losing revenue in it. We bought it for $15 million. We're paying Granite City Partners. I'm not sure what I might have that name incorrectly. I think we're paying $60,000 to manage the building. They're not actively looking for leases for the building. They had a couple of pop-ups in the building, and a restaurant had been moved out of the building because I guess they had some problems with the tenant, the restaurant, with the fog, which we just talked about in the council. So, and they moved. I think they moved down the street to another location. I think one of the questions one of the council members had is if we were having this problem, why would we re-give the license to the person? That makes sense, but unfortunately, I never knew that that was happening in that restaurant. It was a great restaurant. I do recommend it. It was good food. I guess they were not following the procedures that they should for getting rid of the grease traps. It happens in every community. This isn't unique to Quincy. When they moved out, the two businesses that moved in for the pop-ups was Two Trunks and Compass. And that was definitely they're the only two pop-ups in the building. And I was, there was a lot of questions in regards to that too. I did see on the mission statement that those pop-ups from Two Trunks was also encouraging other pop-ups to come to their locations to pay a nominal rent for something like that. So it was just more of an explanation for that because they're not paying quite as much as other lessees are in the building. And some people are paying pennies on the dollar, and some people are paying a much higher rate. I think Lynch is paying $5 more than everybody else. So it was just the real question I had was, how do we make it equitable for everybody? Because we did buy the building. We're not in the landlord business. So obviously not, because we're not actually going out to try to lease things. And what we were told from Paul Hines, it was that and also actually the Two Trunks person, Joanne Dodaro, I think it was O'Brien, came to speak too, and she said it was a great opportunity and everybody loves it. I think it's a great opportunity too for startups. But what came out of that conversation was there's another startup that opened up down the street, and it was I think what they it was called Sunny Corner Lounge, and it was a community game and lounge retail space. It was at 1415 Hancock Street. It was a young man with a young family that was opening board games and different games activities for people to go to, and he was there for a couple of months, and it was expensive. He was paying $10,000 a month for that space. Had he known maybe that he could come down the street, but there's no advertisement, there's no way for anybody to know. And that's really the issue that I think the equitable piece. We are a city. We purchased a building, and that building is now part of our it's part of our unity of buildings we take care of, and it's only being offered out to certain people. It's not being offered out equitably for everybody in the city of Quincy to use. And you have to be buzzed in to get into this public building. So it was just a lot of that information. And we bought it for one purpose, which was for Quincy College and the new City Hall offices. It's going to be a 15-story building. We bought it with COVID money. And their workaround for the COVID money was that they never bought it for the purposes of what they said, call it the college, and that the other piece that they did it for Discover Quincy. So we spent $15 million for a building so that we could house Discover Quincy. So my concern about that for taxpayers is we purchase things for one use and we use them for others. We talk a good game about what we're going to use them for, and we continue to go back and do that over and over again. And that is another burden to the bonds that we're putting out there to purchase for the city of Quincy. And I did find that to be a little, I find that to be a little frustrating because, we cannot afford to keep going out and just buying things because we want to. We should have a real plan on how we're going to use those things. That agenda meeting ended, and then we moved on to our regular meeting. We had our public comment, which goes a little bit longer. We didn't take a vote for it last night to go a bit longer, but I think it's important. It was the budget night that everybody had a chance to speak. We heard from a variety of different people about a variety of different topics. And then we moved into the general budget, which was Mayor Koch's presentation for the general budget. And I think it's a $491 million budget. An increase on the average is 2.9%. There'll be no increases in libraries, veterans, COA. I'm going to forget some of it because I don't have my package with me today. But it's a big budget book, and we'll all be going through it with fine-tooth combs. And then we did have some meetings set up at the end of the month. At the end of the meeting, Debbie, Councillor Riley set up the finance meetings that will be starting. I think there's four meetings set up in total right now. We'll set up more if we need them. There was some back and forth with the mayor. I think Councillor Yuen had a question in regards to there was a request from Councillor Yuen, and she went into City Hall and she was looking for the DIF proceeds. Basically, the payments for any of the new buildings that are in downtown should be coming in, and it should be a fairly easy thing to get. But they are commingling that with the general fund, and I think that was a concern for many people because, as we do know, Joe, we've been told year after year after year that the DIF will pay for itself, but we're having a hard time getting the DIF proceeds from the downtown. So we need to know how much more we're taking out those bonds. This was last week. I don't mean to bring this up from last week, but the whole point of the exercise of having the debt brought to us was to understand how much debt the city has. That has grown from 1.6 to 1.8. We don't know what the expenditures are, what they're spending that money on in the downtown, and then we don't know the receipts of what we're getting back that's supposed to pay down those DIF loans. So Councillor Yuen went into City Hall. She had called, emailed, and went in, and she said that she went to the assessor's office. The assessor sent her to the finance office. The finance office sent her to the assessor's office. So as you can see, it was just a back and forth, back and forth. And the mayor was like, "No, no worries. I'm sure it's going to take a little bit for them to be able to get that. We'll get that information to you right away." More conversation happened, and I think Councillor Jacobs brought up the fact that people are feeling, it's just in general in the city, pretty much, it's not just the city, it's probably throughout the country, we're exhausted from, we're just exhausted from politics and from being told one thing and not getting what you're expecting for something else. And living in the city of Quincy, it can be just, there's just a lot coming at people all the time, like the $22 million for the ENC, and we bought the Monroe Building and the library and the this and that. So there's a lot of those things. And, the mayor chuckled and said, "You've only been in office for 6 months. How could you be fatigued?" Which, I don't know. You can be so catch me on the wrong day. I'm fatigued. And then I moved on, and I did have some specific questions because I too was asking for the DIF money. And I sent an email out to our CFO asking for the DIF money. So I think I did 22, 23, 24, 25, and then the three quarters of 26. And now at this point, the bill should be out for your taxes. The collector sends those bills out for your taxes. So Q4 would be out now. It's not unreasonable for people to be asking for those revenues because we have a lot of money in loans, and we need to make sure we're looking at that. And I got an email back from the CFO, Del Robert, saying that he needed to talk to the assessor and he was out because he had knee surgery. So it's, in the end of the meeting last night, the mayor said, "Of course, we'll get this stuff." And I said to Chris Walker, "I'm looking forward to having it first thing in the morning." And, I'm not being a joke here. It's not a joke. It's 9:43 and I don't have it yet. And it's important information to be able to look at the budget and to understand where we're spending money, what money's coming in, and how we're protecting the taxpayers. These are all important things that they should want to share. Another thing that was brought up last night was, I think Councillor McKee put in a resolve before Yancey was to be coming to us. We wanted that list of all of the properties that were purchased for the city of Quincy and where they are now, whether they were sold, how much they were sold for, who they were sold to, what they became, if they weren't sold, what we're doing with them, what have been purchased and nothing has happened to them. There's lots of those. And the mayor challenged, I think, Councillor Jacobs on that and said, what ones are you talking about? And Councillor Jacobs said the Mass Maritime Center down in Ward 1, and he mentioned the St. Mary's Catholic School that was purchased. And then he didn't seem to think that was an extensive list. And I was able to say the Messina property that we bought down in downtown that was supposed to be for the I think it was supposed to be for the Public Arts Center, but now it's going to be in the Monroe Building. But last week they had a meeting at the Historical Society that they were reviewing, the architect reviewing the plans for the John Adams Library and the National Parks moving in, and Discover Quincy and the arts facility moving into the Monroe Building, and they said that that footprint is too small. So it's not us. It's what's out in the it's what's being presented out in other avenues, and we're just trying to piece it back together. And the city has a lot of one-off kind of conversations, but we have to look at it as a whole. And again, with the budget, I think Council Ewan also asked, we have the seawall repairs and we just got the fire gear, and now we're coming in with the ENC, and we have talks about all these other things, and we have building maintenance that we have to do. And it's a fair question to ask. Like, we are getting them all one off, but they stack up pretty fast when you look at debt. So when you start adding it up, it's an enormous amount of debt that we already have, 1.8 billion, and we're asking for all of these other projects, and we're being kind of told if we don't do it, something scary is going to happen. We're not the scary ones. We're just asking for information. And that's kind of where we left it last night. We are looking forward to going through the budget. I did thank the mayor for coming forward. I thanked everybody, all the department heads, for coming forward, because it's a lot. And of course, all the department heads are there because it's their budgets. They take pride in what they're accomplishing for the city of Quincy, and they should. So it was, to me, it was a very productive evening. It was a lot of conversations back and forth and some things that have to happen. We moved into, after the budget, we did the sewer and the water, and we moved into the Eastern Nazarene acquisition. And that's the $22 million. And again, a lot of the things I've already stated, Joe, were things that we discussed. And Eastern Nazarene came with a letter of intent, and it looks like it has to be done by June. I think the timing of this is terrible. They brought it in the same night as the budget. We don't have time to do anything but the budget, and we're asked to, as a council, to look at an ENC purchase with absolutely no prospectus as to how we're going to get there, other than to say Quincy College might be interested in using the gym and the fields. I know, as far as I know, Quincy College, I haven't seen a prospectus back from Quincy College. We stepped in to take care of Quincy College, and now Quincy College can afford things. That's great. Let's hear from them before we get into the business of buying another property based on other things. It's a real concern that I have, because it all sounds fantastic, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's another expense we're putting on the backs of our taxpayers. There are people who want us to buy it, and there are many people who are asking us to slow it down because they can't afford another thing to be purchased that isn't going to be brought to fruition. So
How
from
would
there,
the, I'm
yeah,
sorry, and how would
okay.
ENC purchase be financed? Was that explained?
It was by bond. It would be a
Okay.
bond. But they also mentioned, I think in the prospectus, or at one point it was mentioned that it could be Quincy. I'm gonna mess this up. It's a nonprofit, Quincy Housing, nonprofit fund or something, some fund, which would be
Oh,
that,
the
and that
Affordable Housing Trust Fund?
Affordable Housing Trust Fund. Yeah,
Okay.
that was what was brought up, and that is something that we have to look at. There was also, when the mayor was presenting it, he had some very creative thoughts of how he was doing this, and I do appreciate his imagination. So I would say ideas are fantastic. Everybody has them. We all have them. But the ones that actually, it's a test, right? It's a test of how we're going to get things done. But the ones that actually turn into something are the ones that are magical. The rest of us, you can just keep coming up with ideas, and they're not always going to work. And so bravo for the idea, but like, how do we make it work? And one of the things that we're saying is it would be a 55 and older, and the idea it would only be Quincy residents that could buy the 55 and older, and to buy the 55 and older, we want you to sell your house. Well, I'm not 100% sure if we can manage it like that. I don't know. It sounds good. Looking forward to learning a little bit more about it. But it does, we and there was a resolve that went in asking about Quincy Housing Authority, just how many vacancies they have and different things like that, because there are options. But this sounds like it would be a more higher end one, and who maybe, how many of them would there be? We don't know the density of it. They would keep the library and the administration building. It sounds like those are two well-kept buildings. It wouldn't be for a big library. It would be too big. It sounds like it could be an after-school program. A lot of potential things that would we don't have a budget for, which means we would be taking over this property and it would be adding to our taxes, adding to our budget, because there's no way we could add another property like that without adding a lot of people to go into it to actually manage that and taking care of it. So that's my concern, is the idea sounds good, but we haven't, we have to really flush it out to make sure it's going to work. And the fact is that this needs to be decided pretty fast, because the intent, I think, has a date, the end of June, and doesn't give us a lot of time to do it. And that's unfortunate, because it sounds like they've been talking about this for a long time and it was just not brought to us much earlier. And I think there's going to be a lot of questions for this. It's not, it's a, you know, and questions are not a bad thing. They really do poke a hole in the things to make sure that they're realistic of what we're going to be able to accomplish. This is when we really test the idea.
Okay, so I'm assuming that went into finance also.
That did go into finance also. So that
Okay.
was my long story for that. But so that did come forward. And then we had some more community preservation projects that were closed out. We had another $322,377,000 of preservation projects that have been completed with a little bit of money left over that is going back into the CPA for new projects to be able to be done throughout the city. And then we moved on to the Massachusetts School Building Authority Accelerated Repair Program and Feasibility Study. Now, this was, Susan Yuan, Councilor Yuan, also had some questions in regards to this, because she's never, it's a feasi it's basically a feasibility study, $500,000 to do it. We get into the MSBA, it's all for the schools. And she was just questioning, how long is it going to take? Where is it going to be? And she wasn't questioning whether or not we should do it. It was more of a question of how are we going to know how much is this going to cost? Because again, all of the councils that are new are just adding up. It's a every time you look at something, it's going to be another $500,000, $1 million, $2 million, $22 million. Like, the numbers are staggering, and we have $1.8 billion worth of debt. Any way you cut it, that's a lot of debt, and it's anybody outside the city of Quincy is all saying $1.8 billion of debt. That's crazy. So it's something that's concerning to her. There was some back and forth between herself and Councilor DeBona, and I think there was we're having these I call it family dysfunction right here. Like, we're having some questions back and forth. And then the end of the night, Susan was very rightfully so saying that, she did get the question answered. She appreciated Mr. Hines answering the question. Her and Noel kind of went back and forth. Noel apologized, and hopefully, I was walking out with them last night, and I believe that Noel and Councilor DeBona and Councilor Yuen are going to be going for coffee soon. So maybe we'll be able to amend the bridge there for that. So then we're moving and moving on from there. We had the resolve calling for Quincy Housing Authority QHA vacancy data and access to the visibility of the 55 and older initiative. Again, another piece to tie this back to make sure that we're making the right choices. I don't think anybody's denying that a 55 and older would be great in the city of Quincy. That was what was supposed to happen up at Hospital Hill when they were going in. And, we were promised in a big community meeting it was going to be a 55 and older. And then guess what? It just wasn't economic for the developer, and they weren't going to make as much money. And the 55 and older got thrown away, and we ended up with a lot, very dense population up there, very, much more than the neighborhood wanted, and we did not think that was too big. So, what the other thing that came up about the Eastern Nazarene was that we control the zoning. So, whoever comes in with their gigantic projects that are coming in, we can say no because it's not fitting the zoning. So there are ways we could enforce that for any developer that's coming in. The question is whether or not Quincy, the city of Quincy, should be the developer. That's really what it comes down to. Then another resolve came in seeking the formal audit of the lease deductions and expenses and payments for Quarry Hills Association. I remember when I was in the council, I think, believe it was Chuck Phelan, Councillor Phelan, asked for the same audit to be done, and it did not happen while I was there. It did not happen in the last 2 years. So this is now coming in from Councillor Ryan. It's in her ward, and I think it's important that we have that, and the mayor agreed that we should have it. Councillor Riley did bring up that we, and it was in the resolve itself that it should be paid for because there's an oversight area in the budget that they have to pay into, and we thought that would be a great place to pay for it so the taxpayers of the City of Quincy wouldn't have to pay for it because we have to pay for the audit, only to find out when Councillor Riley asked the auditor, Susan O'Connor, she didn't have the information at her fingertips, but she told us that it was in a negative. I think it's in a negative. The oversight budget for Quarry Hills is in a negative $118,000. We do not know what that's made up of. I'm sure we'll be asking for it, but that is not where we'll be paying for it. So, there's some concerns about that too, but that is why we're asking for an audit. So we look forward to getting that taken care of as well. And then we had, I think that was bringing us to pretty much the end of the evening. And it was, I thought it was a very productive night. We had some hecklers from the audience on both sides. They did have to ask, like, let's keep it down. And they were respectful. And, and that's fine. I love an audience. And we just can't talk back to them. That's the, like, we're trying to run a meeting and it's not one person, it's multiple people. And we're just trying to keep some, decorum in the room. And we will continue to do that, and we will work with everybody who's there. And like I said, I personally think it's great to hear from both sides because by listening to people, we can learn from what their concerns are. And I'm looking forward to learning more about what's going on and what people think of all of the projects that we're talking about. I will say that I get a lot of phone calls and emails and conversations along the road. I think the City Council is, there's a lot of new people learning their voices, but we are getting positive reinforcement. And I'm saying, I can say wholeheartedly, I feel like I know a lot of people in the City of Quincy, and even people who may not never have agreed with me in the past are saying that this is important that we have these conversations. And I find that to be relatively enlightening to hear from people and to know that this is important and we are working with the administration. This idea that somehow we're just looking to cut things and not do anything. And we are working harder with the administration than I'd say the administration is working with us. When you look, and I'm just gonna, this is gonna be my only moment to say this. When you look at ward councillors, when we had the ANC meeting, the ward councillor wasn't invited or included in the preparation of that. When you look at the seawall meeting that was had down in Ward 1, the ward councillor was not invited or participatory in that. When we look at, we had a budget, a debt budget presentation, we were looking for forecasting. Forecasting wasn't done in that. When we asked the question about should we have reserves, our financial analyst said, yes, we need to build our reserves and we need to, be careful about how we're moving forward. And $1.8 billion is a lot of debt. When we go and ask for our diff, like I said myself, when I went and asked and Council UN went in and asked, and we get told not here, not there, not anywhere, but the doors are always open. I would say that that's us working with them. But we're not feeling that, that work coming back. So we do have to work better together. Nobody's demanding anything. We're not saying anybody, I'm not accusing anybody of doing anything. We're just asking for this information. We're being very fair about when we're asking for it. It's not unreasonable for a counselor to ask for those that information. And I think, it's just a matter of, again, we have new counselors learning their voices. We have an administration that has not really had to answer to anybody for a very long time, having to learn to work with us. And we will get there. I truly do believe that. And, we just need the information to get there. More information provided to this council, the more likely we'll be able to come back with, good answers that will be able to protect the taxpayers and enhance the opportunities for the City of Quincy. And
Okay.
that's my story for today. And I do think, like, I appreciate the fact that sometimes things take a little longer to get there. If you tell me you need a week to do something, I'm more than reasonable. I'll wait a week. But if you tell me you're going to have something to me on Monday, which I was told I would have it by Monday, and I didn't get it, this is when, a different, this is when I say, well, I didn't set that deadline, you did. So now it's Tuesday and I don't have it. So every day from here on out, I'll be like, and now it's Wednesday, I don't have it. So I anticipate we will get it. But again, set realistic deadlines for things and people won't get frustrated.
Okay, very good. And next meeting, Anne?
The next meeting, because I don't have my notes in front of me from last time. So I think it's, I know we have, we're going to have a FinCom meeting. And I think the next one is May. I don't have my calendar in front of me.
Okay,
So
all right.
I know I usually bring my notes with me. I apologize. That's the one
That's
thing I
okay.
wasn't ready for. So.
May 19th is the Finance Committee. I didn't know when the next full council meeting was.
I think it's the week. I think it's later than the month. So
Okay.
So we have four meetings set up for finance, and we'll see where it goes from there. So
Okay. Very
yeah.
good. Good to catch up with you. Thanks for your time.
Always great, Joe. Have a great day.
You too.